Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to worship this Easter day at First Presbyterian Church. A special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. You are all very welcome. Please take a moment, everyone, and locate the red pew pads, pass those along, and help your neighbors if need be. There are some announcements in your bulletin. We begin this morning by expressing sympathy to the Compton family on the death of Jim Compton. There's information in your bulletin about his memorial service coming up on Saturday, May 11th at 2 in the afternoon. There is also information in your bulletin about events that are coming up in the life of the church this week. I invite you to take note of those as they apply to you. A special note that on May 1st, Farmers on the Square returns to the square, and so the farmers market will be back here at its home location beginning on May 1st, and we look forward to opening day of the market and to all the activity that brings to our part of the square here in Carlisle. A special note, there's also information in your bulletin about One Great Hour of Sharing and your generosity, both with the offering envelopes last week and also with the fish banks. Thank you for your generosity that goes to One Great Hour of Sharing and all that OGHS does to help people in our world who are struggling. Our prayers today are also with the church in Sri Lanka. If you have seen the news this morning, you know that there were attacks on churches and hotels in that small country on Easter Day. So our prayers are also with the Christians there and the church there, and celebrating, remembering that resurrection always, always, always follows death. On this beautiful Resurrection Day, let us join our hearts and minds together as we worship God. Please stand as we worship God together. Come, see the tomb where Jesus was laid. Come, touch the stone that is rolled away. Come, hear the story of our risen Lord. Come, worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you. God is ever more ready to hear and to forgive than we are to pray and to confess. But know this, God stands ready. God listens and God forgives. So let us pray together. God of everlasting life, we confess that we continue in the ways of death. You have announced your new creation, but we put our hope in former things. You have opened the door of the tomb, but we close our hearts to our neighbors. Forgive us, God of grace. Make us people of the resurrection, proclaiming the destruction of death and the gift of glorious new life in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear this good news of Easter. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Behold, the old life is gone. A new life has begun. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
On this day, filled of so much good news from our Savior, Jesus Christ, we are going to have a word for each one of us because the Holy Spirit does have one for you. So let us now pray that we hear the word and do what God would like us to do. Let us pray together. Startle us, O God,
with the truth of your word, and open our hearts and minds to receive your wondrous love this day. Speak your word to us, silence within us any voice but your own, and be with us now as we turn our attention, our minds, and hearts to your holy word. We pray.
We could have children come forward, please. You ladies are dressed lovely, and it'll be perfect because we're going to do something special. We have to, Wade's hat, so we have to. This morning's word is rejoice. This is a day so filled with happiness, but happy just doesn't seem to be enough. And it's a day that's fun. And things to do, and we're going to have communion, which is so special. But the word is rejoice. Rejoice. That word is, oh, big. Can you think big? Can you think big? What is the one thing in the world that would make you want to dance? Music. Music would make Wade want to dance. Do you ladies like to dance? What would make you want to dance? Music, I guess we must, well, we are going to have some music so you can dance because this is the day. This is the day when the Holy Spirit comes to dance. This is the day when Jesus danced on death and said, I am king of the dance. I am lord of the dance. And it's a day filled with rejoicing. So we'll have a quick prayer and then Mr. Ord is going to play some dancing music and you'll dance back to your seat with your nice hat on. Sure. Will you ladies dance back to your seats? Oh, come on. I'll dance back to mine because it's only close. So let us pray. Gracious God, you are the Lord of the dance, the one that fills our heart, and we rejoice in this moment of Easter, a new day, a new beginning, and a new earth and creation. And we say thank you, Lord, and let us rejoice in your name.
That song always makes me want to dance. Our first reading today is found on page 696 of your pew Bible, Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 years will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Crown him, the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Crown him, the Lord.
The second lesson is from the New Testament, from Luke's Gospel, the story of the first resurrection day. Listen again to God's word. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here is this unexpectedly empty tomb, and it reminds us that God shatters all of our worldly expectations in the life and death of Jesus Christ. With the women, we go to the tomb on that first day of the week, early in the morning, looking for death, looking for a body to care for. But instead, we find life. We go looking for more sadness, but instead we find indescribable joy. We go with fear. We are greeted with good news. Today we hear and read and know the account of Christ's resurrection through the lens of history. We already know what is going to happen when the women go to Jesus' tomb on that first day of the week after his crucifixion. We already know that when they arrive, these faithful women will find an empty tomb and folded grave clothes and defiant angels announcing life and a risen Lord. But this news no longer terrifies us like it did the women who first heard it. It's almost as if we have become inured to the resurrection, used to its annual springtime celebration. So today I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that you're hearing this story for the first time, and I realize that for many of you that might be difficult, especially if you have heard this story time and time and time again your whole life long. But bear with me. Imagine you are hearing this story for the first time. Imagine that you are walking with these women. Imagine that the last time you saw Jesus, it was his limp, lifeless body that was being taken down from the cross and then wrapped in a linen shroud before it was placed in a borrowed tomb. Imagine how the events of the past few hours and days keep replaying over and over and over again in your mind. The nails and the crown of thorns, the cries of pain and thirst and abandonment ringing in your ears. Now imagine it is early morning on the first day of the week and dawn is breaking and you're going to the tomb to finish the work that you didn't have time to do on Friday as the sun was setting. Imagine for a moment that this is the first time you've heard this story. I think it's hard for us to wonder what the women were thinking and feeling and experiencing as they walked along. Were they talking? Were they silent? Were they crying? Maybe they weren't saying anything, still lost in their grief. Imagine their expectations of what they will find. The women go to the tomb early in the morning, and they are looking for death. The whole purpose of their visit to the tomb in the first place is to anoint Jesus' body with burial spices, to finish the work that they had been unable to do on Friday as the sun was setting and the Sabbath was beginning. Their expectation is that nothing has really changed since Friday. The stone will still be there covering the tomb. Jesus' body will still be inside. Their hopes and their dreams will still be dashed. The women go looking for death, but that is not what they find. Instead, they are greeted by an empty tomb. The stone is rolled away. Jesus' body is not there, and an angel announces good news, strange news. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. The text says that at that point, the women remembered. It's just a little short line, and then the women remembered. That's the part of the resurrection that always gets me. Even though Jesus had told his followers multiple times what was going to happen, that he was going to die and rise again, they all forgot. Their expectations were for death and for sorrow. But then they remembered. Then they remembered Jesus' words and the promise that he made to them. And suddenly the women realized that their expectations are all wrong. They've come looking for death, but instead God has given life. We all deal with managing expectations in life. There are big expectations and there are small expectations, and we all manage them in different ways. There are big ones like family and friends and home and work and countless others that you could probably think of. We have to deal with these expectations, and we have certain expectations that are placed on us by others. You came here this morning expecting to hear a sermon about Jesus' resurrection, because today is Easter. It's not Christmas, it's not Thanksgiving, it's not some other random Sunday, it's Easter. And that is your expectation. I'm guessing you also came with the expectation that the sermon wouldn't go on for hours and hours and hours. And it's not, maybe just one, no. We are Presbyterian. My question, though, for you this glorious resurrection morning, when we were expecting rain and clouds and dreariness, but we got sun instead, my question for you this glorious resurrection morning is the same question that the angel asked those women so many centuries ago. What are you looking for? What are your expectations? Are you looking for death? Or are you looking for life? Are you looking for the living God who created you and who loves you? Or are you looking for something else? Are you looking for what is good in this world? Or are you looking for what is bad? There's a line in an old Disney movie that goes something like this: when you look for the bad in people expecting to find it, you surely will. And I think we've all been there. It's easy to look for and to see the bad. We don't always go out looking, searching, hoping for life. But Paul writes, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Look for these things. Search for these things, these good things. In other words, if you look for the good, you will surely find it. The more I read and think and study and pray, the more I become convinced that God is in the business of confounding our expectations. We humans tend to set the bar pretty low. We go looking for death, but life is on the loose. Most of us do a good job managing our expectations. We almost always find what we're looking for. But then in the early morning, we go out looking for death, and God reveals life. We go to the tomb expecting to find a body, but instead, it's empty. Just some old wadded up grave clothes left behind. And the living Christ, whom God has raised from the dead, he meets us. We go looking for the bad, expecting to find it, and often we're not disappointed, but then God does something like raising the dead, and he totally confounds our expectations. It's times like this, like Easter Sunday, when we must stop and look and listen and discover the new inbreaking of God into this world, into our church, into our lives. It's like what God says through the prophet Isaiah, those words that we heard just a few moments ago, I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth. Former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Because when we expect to see God at work in the world and in the church and in our lives, when we believe that he is at work in us, we will not be disappointed. Our expectations will be met and exceeded beyond our wildest imaginations. God, you see, is in the business of giving life, renewing life, raising the dead, and we who are dead, dead in our sin and trespasses, we are certainly ready for redemption and resurrection, for good news. God promises us new life, resurrection life for everyone who trusts in Jesus. God, you see, is doing this new thing that's not been done before. And God invites us to be part of that new thing, this new thing in Jesus Christ. God invites us to be part of it by faith. It's sort of like when Paul writes to the Romans, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When we expect life, when we go out looking for life, we will certainly, certainly find it. Because after death, always, always, always comes resurrection. People all over the world were deeply saddened by last week's fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, and rightly so. I remember being overwhelmed by it, by the art and the architecture of that sacred space when I was there 20 years ago. But what is even more overwhelming to me then and now is the history of that place. More than 850 years of faithful men and women who have worshiped and prayed and praised God inside those stone walls. The good news is that God's faithful people will continue to worship and to pray and to praise. No fire can stop that from happening. We don't need a building to do that. Buildings come and buildings go, but sometimes we expect them to last forever, and our faith is tried when something like that happens. But God is in the business of confounding our expectations. We go looking for death, but God reveals life and gives renewal. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our loving God declares that he is in the business of life. Death has lost its power. Sin is canceled. The grave is empty, and we have no reason to fear it. We heard this morning from Isaiah's vision of that beautiful day when the former things will pass away, when the former things like death will pass away, will no longer come to mind. Where, O death, is your victory? Paul asks. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, Paul proclaims. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. On this Easter day, God is indeed victorious, conquering sin and death. By raising Christ from the grave, God gives us victory as well. Because Jesus has conquered death, we no longer have reason to fear it. It no longer holds power over us. Our Savior has gone ahead of us, just as the pillar of cloud and fire led the Israelites through the wilderness. Jesus guides our steps and leads us to our promised land, our home in God's heavenly kingdom. So imagine again for a moment you're at the empty tomb with the women and your expectations have been shattered and the tomb is empty and you have just heard the good news that Christ is risen. And you hear that question from the angels. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you come to the tomb expecting death when God has promised life? Brothers and sisters, God has turned our expectations upside down. Christ is risen. He is on the loose. The Spirit is at work. All we have to do is open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds. And God will be at work in the world around us, in the church, in our lives, for us to see and feel and know and experience and to participate with him. God invites us to be part of this work, this new thing that he's doing. So where are you looking today? Have you come looking for death? Or have you come looking for life? What are your expectations? On this day of resurrection, may we all hold fast to the God who confounds our expectations and who gives us life by faith in Jesus Christ. Come to this table. Come and meet Jesus. Come experience the risen Christ, to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, on this day of resurrection, we gather and we proclaim our faith. We proclaim that the tomb is empty. We don't always understand it, Lord, because it is such strange news. But give us faith, faith to trust and faith to understand, and someday, faith to live eternally with you. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
Together with all the faithful in every time and place, let us proclaim what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
On this Easter morning, as the people of God, let us pray together. Holy God, as Jesus lay in the tomb, we were reminded that the world has fallen into darkness, people marginalized and oppressed because of who you created them to be, people killed because of their faith, your children at war and the fear of more to come, violence in the streets and in our homes, abuse and neglect doing untold harm, poverty and hunger, privilege and excess, unemployment and homelessness, illness in body and mind, senseless tragedies and avoidable disasters, loneliness and hopelessness, grief and sorrow. But you, O God, have shown us the light. On this morning, the sun shines as on the dawn of creation, because today is a new day. We are new people. The world has been born anew. From an empty tomb, the good news of your love spreads throughout the world. Our hope and trust in Christ's resurrection shatters our fears and overcomes our doubts. Here in this place, we cannot ignore your presence. Here in this place, we are lifted up. Here in this place, we are filled with your Spirit. Gracious God, we ask that in the days which follow Easter's triumph, help us to remember. Remember the mystery of this day, the hope beyond hope, the faith beyond reason, life in the face of death, light that pierces the darkness. Loving God, the light of Christ is to sustain us. Easter cannot be a single day or a season of the year, but it must be a daily proclamation. Make our Easter like the air we breathe and the food we eat, filling us with your love, giving us strength to love you and one another. In the chaos and cacophony of life, may we hear your still, small voice, reminding us that Christ is alive, and so then are we. Thank you, God, for the miracle of this day and the miracle of every day. May the light of this morning shine within us and from us. May we live our lives in you and live into your kingdom. May it emerge around the world. May it speak hope against fear, faith in the midst of doubt, and the good news of your boundless love for us all. So let us go from this holy place, but not be silent, Lord. Let us hear, let us now pray that your kingdom with the words of the living Christ, teaches us to pray now and each day. Praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Rejoice, rejoice again and again. And one of the ways that we rejoice in our God is to give gifts. We give our time, we give our talents, and in this part of worship, we give our money and our offerings, our love for God, to this church and to each other. May the ushers come forward.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, you are the giver of great gifts. This morning we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you thanks. With resurrection humming in our hearts, our minds are tuned to your song of peace. We joyfully present these gifts to you, a tangible chorus of thanksgiving, a harmony of hope for your kingdom to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Friends, dear brothers and sisters, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit together at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread. He blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is not my table or your table or even the church's table. It is the Lord's table, and our faithful Savior invites those who trust him and who have been baptized to share in this feast that is prepared for all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the sacrifice, the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive, O God, our praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh in the holy and life-giving spirit, now and forever. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. This morning we invite you to come forward by the center aisle and to receive the elements by intinction. There is a gluten-free station by the baptismal font. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let the people come. Let us pray together. Gracious and merciful God, it was always your will that Israel should find in Jesus Christ the one who would bring them home, like lost sheep returning to the shepherd who is their king. Into that fold would come others from every nation upon earth, as prophets had foretold, including those gathered here today, who honor your name. Gracious God, we praise you for the promise of Scripture, the fullness of your love, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has met us at this table and strengthened us for his service. Amen. Thank you.
out now into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.